This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to an iFanboy special edition podcast, The Adventures of Tintin and the Secret of the Unicorn. Welcome to another special edition podcast. My name is Ron Richards, and I'm here with Paul Montgomery.
Hello.
How you doing, Paul?
Good. How are you?
Good. And we're here for a special holiday movie edition, as the one of the big movie releases around over the Christmas weekend is the animated adaptation of The Adventures of Tintin, which, for those who might not know, Tintin was a French Franco-Belgian comic by Hergé.
Yeah, it's basically like if you're in Belgium or France, it's like Charlie Brown. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Tintin is a big, like rock star kind of comic book thing, created by Hergé.
Yep.
And with
a long legacy, and what's great is that you guaranteed, whether you're aware of it or not, you've seen Tintin comics before.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like it's. I think it's more ubiquitous than people realize that Hergé's art style, and a lot of the stories. Like I remember they were in the library when I was a kid. Stuff. Like, I didn't realize they were comics until much later. So.
Mm-hmm. Lots of homage paid to Hergé and Tintin. Just the same way we see this. You know, people paying homage to Charles Schulz and characters, you know, in America, but big in there's been live action films, there have been cartoons. If you're around my age, you probably saw it on Nickelodeon. There's a French cartoon they dubbed into English, and so it's all over the place.
Yeah, and Hergé was Belgian, so so that's why that's the Franco-Belgian, and for what is that term, bidet or whatever it is, the bidet con? I don't know. The bidet is the thing you pee in.
That's a toilet with
what is
a toilet with a fountain. What are you saying about Hergé, sir? We're going to get angry emails in French.
You know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, it's I got to look this up now. Franco-Belgian comics. It's called something.
I wasn't aware of this, but you know, there's like I would get it on summer vacations. My parents always went to Colonial Williamsburg, and we'd go to this one bookstore, and there was one spinner rack of Tintin and one of Asterix.
Oh yeah, and Asterix, so and is
I. Yeah, and so I would go for the Tintin stuff, and you know, picked up one or two each vacation, and this is all, you know, this has been out in Europe since like October, I think, so we're just getting it now.
Yep.
I went to see it on the big IMAX screen.
You did, huh?
I saw it. Yeah, it was my theater just got an IMAX screen in, like, just under the radar, and I was like, oh, okay, and it was the earliest screening of the day, so check that out. IMAX 3D looked very nice.
By the way, it's bidet, B-E-D-E, and that's the, B-E-D-E, and that's the term for Franco-Belgian comics. So, anyway.
Our Christmas gift to you.
Yeah, there you go.
A little bit of information.
And this movie is somewhat of a big deal, because if you look at the names associated with it, I mean, it was executive produced by Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings fame and Steven Spielberg. It's directed by Steven Spielberg, and it stars people like, you know, like Andy Serkis and Daniel Craig and Simon Pegg. So there's a lot of names that are associated with it. And
even with the writing, it's written by Stephen Moffat, who you'll know from Doctor Who and the Sherlock series.
And Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish, who did Attack the Block earlier this year.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people behind it. And I guess the biggest thing going against it was that the animation style was that rubbery, realistic people, Polar Express style.
Yeah, it's a mechascope. It's like when they rotoscope, when they take live performance capture and they animate over it, and it's that uncanny valley thing where it looks kind of real, but not enough real. And in the text review, I liken it to sort of like Asian pleasure robots, where, you know, like they look like just not quite human, and that's the worst, you know. So
yeah, it almost looks very much looks like latex rubber pulled over a mannequin.
Yeah, they're like cartoony looking, but they're like real, like lifelike eyes and stuff, and like they have freckles.
Yeah,
like Thompson and Thompson. I noticed they have like a little bit of stubble and like weird freckles or moles. Yep. I was like, that's kind of gross. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. And so I was a little upset when I found out that that's the style they were going for with this movie. But ultimately, I ended up kind of liking it for it, because they do some things where there's a lot of cartoon logic to it, like the way Snowy the dog behaves and is so intelligent. But then they're also able to do stuff that looks like great, like you would be able to do in live action, like really big set pieces that wouldn't look as cool in just straight animation.
Yep, agreed. So okay, so we've both seen it. So, and you already read a review that's up on iFanboy.com. So if people haven't read it, or if people have read it, they won't be surprised. But so ultimately, did you like it? Good review, bad review? What did you think of it?
As a longtime fan, I was a big fan of this. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. Excellent, and I agreed. I went to see it. I went to go see it this morning. Actually, I took my 8-year-old niece because I wanted to do like the kid litmus test as well.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And we both loved it. She was in her seat cheering, totally. Like, and the story. I was my main concern was, you know, because it's a bit of a mystery. It's a, you know, like there's the main premise is that Tintin comes across a model ship, and the model ship contains information that's related to finding a buried treasure. That's at the end of the end of the day. That's the story. And there are lots of twists and turns and things that changed. And my 8-year-old niece, like in the middle of the movie, she's like, "Oh!" And like she's recounting to me plot points. She's like,
"That's cool."
Yeah. And so I was like, "Nice." So she got it. So the story.
So she was engaged with it. That's good.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly. And I thought it was a blast. I thought it hit every like Tintin-esque adventure note that I would want to hit. You know, they had him, you know, trying to figure out a mystery. They had there was a little bit of comedy. There was a lot of adventure. I thought the action sequences were awesome.
There's some. It's basically like set piece after set piece after set piece, and just really big action moments with a cool mystery. you know, besides, and a cool flashback with some pirate action and everything. Yeah. But it's like they don't give you a chance to get bored with this movie at all. So. Yeah.
Exactly, and it was, I think the scope was really big. I mean, because it, you know, because it starts off in, he's in England, right? Or is he in Belgium? I don't know where he's supposed to be. They all have British accents. So
I think it's England, because Thompson and Thompson are Scotland Yard detectives. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's based there.
Yeah. So it starts off in England. It goes out to sea. They end up in Morocco. They're in the Sahara. Like, it's, you know, kind of wide scope. Mm-hmm. But then everything just looked beautiful, and like the scenes in the city in England looked, you know, they looked somewhat realistic. They looked good. The scenes on the desert and in Morocco just looked amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I all in all, it was great. I mean, like, normally I'm not a big animation fan, and I'm not especially this kind of style, and it didn't bother me at all. So.
Okay. Yeah, that was my big question, is sort of it's weird. They're sort of getting better with this kind of stuff as they do more of these movies. And there's like the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol and stuff. And I wasn't too into that as a style. But I think for this, it really sort of benefits and goes with the tone of the story, because they have to do there's some really weird logic in this movie. Yeah. Like liquor does really weird stuff. Like
I think that's part of the character.
Yeah, but going into it, sort of like you have to make allowances that like Captain Haddock can only remember stuff if he's drunk. And then there's like there's some weird stuff going on with flashback and like something that his ancestors experienced. Yeah. And then he remembers in time with the flashback. And so there's a few wonky things with it, but you sort of go with it because it's so wide eyed and fun. And as I said, like it's action set piece after action set piece, and each one it ratchets up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you get to this point in Morocco where they have that really long chase sequence.
Yep.
And if you haven't seen it yet, they show it in the trailer where he's like sort of ziplining.
That was awesome. That scene was
down
great.
This rope with on part of his motorbike had crashed, and so he's got part of that on the handlebars and stuff, and it looks sort of like those Uncharted games.
Yeah.
And it's this really long. It's all one take.
Yeah.
It's like I guess they filmed it individually, but it's basically the camera just moves around and follows different characters, but it's this one really long chase sequence, and it's got that added tension because if you're paying attention, they never like pull the camera away. It's just this, and that adds some kind of like psychological thing to you as a viewer that.
Well, and I think that's where you really see the influence of Spielberg from a direction standpoint. I mean, like that's the thing. I mean, I think people are kind of underestimating. This is a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it touched on a lot of those Steven Spielberg things, you know, like the idea of wonder and the idea of a lot of kind of happenstance and that sort of thing. But also from a cinematic standpoint, he knows how to set up a shot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that really, and that's why it's funny, because it's like, because I know Robert Zemeckis is kind of well known for failing at this animation style pretty spectacularly.
I don't know how they fare box office wise, but I mean, like critically, I don't think a lot of people are a fan of that style, and it just kind of creeps people out. It's notorious for being creepy,
That said, though, I thought the characters and the design of the characters were very reminiscent and made the nods to Hergé's original art style as they could, you know, in this kind of taking Hergé's very cartoony kind of simple.
Yeah, right from the beginning too. It starts in this sort of like out open air flea market and Tintin shopping, and the first thing we see, we see this great animated title sequence.
Yes, which was the opening sequence was amazing. Yeah.
If you're probably familiar with that like Tintin shot where like he's cast in like a flashlight beam and it's him and Snowy running. And basically the title sequence, it's sort of like a Pink Panther movie opening where he's like running around and in silhouette. And then you see covers of the various albums that Hergé produced, and then it all leads up to this flea market, and he's posing for a caricature by a motion cap character that looks a lot like the real Hergé is actually drawing him, and it's in the Hergé style.
Yeah.
And then you go around and you see the characters that populate this movie all have like the big jowls and the long noses that you see in a Tintin book in the background. So I think they did a really good job capturing the style of those characters.
Now, that said, though, the only character that fell a little short in that regard was, unfortunately, in my opinion, Tintin.
because they're trying to make him look more human.
He looked like Jamie Bell, who did the voice. Like, right. He looked like Jamie Bell, and the thing is, like, when you know Captain Haddock, who was played by Andy Serkis, he you know that looked like Captain Haddock from the comics come to life. Yeah. Thompson and Thompson, the two cops who were voiced by Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, respectively. You know, immediately you see them like, oh, it's Thompson and Thompson. Like, you knew them. But while Tintin had the little spike hair type thing, it still was like that shook me for a loop every time I saw him, because I'm like, oh, it looks just like the real person. That's weird.
Yeah, I've been reading up a lot about the character lately, and it's sort of what the interesting thing is that a lot of people like Tintin because he's sort of a blank slate kind of character.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be like the everyman, and like as a reader, you become Tintin. You're like the Boy Scout that he is, you know, going and getting into these big, huge mysteries, and just like these big global chases. And you can basically, you know, like he's you. And here, like, you can't really do that in a movie. You have to give him a little bit more personality. But I do agree that it's sort of weird seeing like a human face attached to this character.
Yeah.
But I think Jamie Bell did a very good job. He's valiant. He's sort of like a Boy Scout kind of character. Just like very nice. I liked Snowy a lot.
Yep.
It's a really cute character, and he's, you know, really intelligent and very loyal to Tintin and goes chasing after him, and so that dynamic I thought was perfect. Andy Serkis, we're sort of used to him being really good in these motion cap roles.
it's kind of not even fair, you know.
Yeah, and this year he was Caesar in the Planet of the Apes movie, and he was fantastic in that, and here he's as good as, you know, Captain Haddock. And I sort of, growing up with that Nickelodeon cartoon, the 2D cartoon, I'm used to that voice. Even more so in Captain Haddock, and with all the like blue blistering barnacles and stuff, than with the actor who played Tintin. But here, I think Andy Serkis like really quickly, like he made the role his own and was really good in that part.
Yeah, so good. It's kind of scary how good he is, to be honest.
Yeah.
But and like I said, I mean, it was a fun rollicking adventure. It wasn't too long. It was just, I mean, it was a little over an hour and a half, which is just right. I mean, I had an 8-year-old with me, and she was enthralled. She was completely captured by the movie the whole time. Never wandered. Never, you know, like got disinterested. Was on totally on board. The it was rated PG, and the pirate scene did get her a little freaked out. Not freaked out, but a little scared, because that was a lot of violence and a lot of explosions and things like that. I did not bring my 6-year-old niece, because we thought it would be too much for her. So you know, if your parents out there, be warned that there's a little bit of, you know, as long as they know pirates and it's very fake in terms of that. But people get shot. Like a dude got shot like in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff happens.
There's like that guy, the American, I guess, who was following him around, and he's at Tintin's door, and he gets shot in the back, basically. It's not bloody.
But there is blood.
I noticed, like, his back, you don't see bullet holes.
Yeah.
But then, like, when he has his hand on the newspaper, it's all bloody and stuff. So, yeah, it can be a little bit intense. But I'd say it's not as adult as, like, an Indiana Jones movie, but it has that flavor, definitely, and that level of excitement.
Yeah.
And people have actually said that, you know, this is what they wanted out of Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah.
And it really does feel like a return to that kind of Spielberg.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I give it a strong, I mean, what do we do? We do 5 stars rating. So what you give it a 4 or 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
I probably give it a 4 or 5 as well. Yeah. I'm probably there right there with you. I think really the only nag on me is just the Jamie Bell animation face. That's about it.
Yeah, it's just technically so impressive, and in terms of pure entertainment, you can't go wrong with it. So
yeah, cool. So yeah, so if you're looking for something to do this holiday break, definitely, if you got kids, take them to go see Tintin. Adults should go see it as well. I think it's fun.
Yes.
And it's good to see. This is truly a comic book movie. I mean, yes, it's Franco-Belgian, but this is one of our characters, so we should be be proud of it. So. Cool, excellent. So head over to ifanboy.com, where you can read Paul's full review of The Adventures of Tintin up on the site. It was a great, well-written review. I know you were very excited to write it.
I've been excited for this one for a while, and it lived up to expectations. So.
Hey. So check that review out on ifanboy.com, as well as check out all the other great writing and everything else that's there. And you can also tune in this week for Josh Connor and myself's All Media Roundup podcast, where we're going to take a look at 2011. We didn't get a chance to talk about Tintin on that because it hadn't come out yet. So so just add on this discussion to that part of the movies discussion. So
cool. It's been a good year for movies, though. I mean, a lot of stuff, but really great movies.
And... Yeah, exactly. This is a good way to end it. So and you know, so check everything out at iFanboy.com. Email us at contact@iFanboy.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/iFanboy, and on facebook.com/iFanboy. And we're recording this before Christmas, but this is going to come out after Christmas. So we hope everybody had a great holiday. And Paul, I hope you have a great holiday as well.
You too, Ron.
All right. We'll see you next time.
See ya.